right, the Senate Committee on Human Services will come to order. It's Monday, April 24th. Welcome back, everyone. We are going to do our public hearings first and our work sessions second, and it appears that this is going to be a pretty quick day. So we're going to start by opening up a public hearing on House Bill 2123. Representative Greenlink. And would you like to read the summary?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2123 modifies the number of voting members of the Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board that can serve on an ad hoc committee established by the board. There is no expenditure impact and no revenue impact on the bill coming over from the House.
Thank you.
I wish it had some revenue impact. Madam Chair, thank you very much for inviting me to join you today, members of the committee. I'm State Representative Mitch Greenlink, House District 33. This might be the easiest bill you've ever had.
I always That's what they all say, Representative, really.
Wait a minute, you'll see. I serve as the representative of the House on the State Hospitals Advisory Board, and we were in a meeting. And we had just actually reviewed the bylaw, the statutes that guided the formation of the advisory committee, and went on to the next business was the formation of a subcommittee to do something. And the chair said, any volunteers? And three members volunteered. So she said, okay, well, you three members can be on the subcommittee. And then somebody looked at the statute, and it says no subcommittee can have more than two members of the board. And we said, well, why is that? And nobody could figure out why it is. And I came back and went to the LC, and they said, because the person who brought me the statute to draw had that in it. And nobody asked why it could only have two. All this amends is it allows the subcommittee of the Hospital Advisory Board to have as many members as one less than a quorum requires. And there it is.
All right. Any questions for Representative Greenlink?
Boy, we ought to have a bunch. There should be at least five or six questions on that one.
Save it for the next five witnesses.
I do have a question. How many members are on the actual board itself?
There are more slots than there are members at the moment because there are vacancies, but I think there's 11 members on the board. So this could have up to five members on a subcommittee if they wanted to name five members.
Any further questions? Thank you very much for coming over.
Well, thank you for having me. I'll go off to sit in judiciary now.
Have fun over there.
Some of your bills.
Please go work on those bills. All right, is there anybody else that would like to be heard on House Bill 2123? Seeing none, are people comfortable if we schedule this for a work session on Wednesday?
You're boss.
Can we post this for a Wednesday work session? Great. I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2123 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2302.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2302 expands the Oregon State Hospital's authority to apply for Social Security disability insurance and supplemental security income and supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits and other appropriate state and federal benefits on behalf of discharged patients. It declares emergency and is effective on passage.
Thank you. Mickey Logan.
Yes, hi. Thank you, Senator Geltzer, members of the committee. I'm Mickey Logan. I'm the Legal Affairs Director at the Oregon State Hospital. I am testifying in support of House Bill 2302 because it will enable the state hospital to apply for benefits on behalf of patients who are too ill to apply for themselves. The financial instability and access to health care provided by these benefits are extremely important factors in determining someone's success after leaving the state hospital. Right now, Oregon State Hospital does not have that statutory authority to apply for all benefits. It does have some limited authority for limited benefits, but this would expand that, for which patients might be eligible. In fact, most of our patients probably are eligible for some benefits. As a result, some patients are discharged without the benefits they need already in place. This means they don't have the access to health care, medications, medical services, appointments, durable medical equipment, and coordinated care that we would prefer they have. Furthermore, most of our patients do not have financial resources to pay for housing, food, and other daily basic living needs. ORS 426-300 allows OSH staff to apply for Medicaid on house on behalf of patients, and this bill would expand that service to include Social Security Disability Insurance, Supplemental Security Income, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and other state and federal benefits. This will help ensure benefits have a safety net in place after leaving the hospital, resulting in a more successful transition to the community and preventing readmissions to the hospital. Oregon State Hospital supports this bill and requests your support as well.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there questions for Mickey?
Senator I do. Thanks, Madam Chair. Actually, it's not about this, but you've kind of jogged my memory about something, Mickey.
This happens to me a lot.
And it's not just because this is the second time I'm seeing you today. It's not about this judiciary bill, but okay. It's rather when we were talking about setting up our public guardian program, one of the things that we talked about in, you know, looking at needs that indigent Oregonians might face is people who were at the state hospital who didn't have a guardian. And, you know, in fact, some of them were not really capable of being released to community care because they didn't have a guardian. Does that remain a problem in your experience?
Senator Gelser, Senator Dunbrough, it is a problem for some of our patients. Not as many as the world might expect. I think the lay people or people who aren't accustomed to state hospital patients assume incorrectly that all of our patients need guardians, and that's simply not the case. The recovery happens and it works.
Yeah.
But a lot of there, we do have patients, particularly our patients with traumatic brain injury or dementia or whatever type of disability that's hard for them, that they're not, frankly, going to recover from. I can't put a number on it. I would not say it's a huge number of patients by any means, but we do have some patients who we are not able to get guardians for because. Interesting dynamic, the judges would say, understandably, they're safe, they're doing well in the hospital, they don't need a guardian. And that makes it hard for us to get the guardian they need, where a community placement would say, well, we would take the person if they had a guardian. So it is somewhat of a struggle. Mm-hmm. I'm not the best person to give you anecdotes, but I certainly am aware of some cases where that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we do have many patients who have very supportive family members who are very happy to step up and be a guardian. Unfortunately, we also have many patients who don't have any family or friends in their lives who would step up, and there are very few guardians who would do this for free.
Right. Yeah, just to follow up, I posed a similar question to the public guardian program, and they're looking into it as well.
Oh, good.
Because one of the things that we observed was, you know, there was potentially some significant cost savings if we could, you know, if a person had a guardian and could be released to the community, the care there is much less expensive, and the individual is eligible for more benefits, I think.
Senator Gelser, Senator Dunbrough, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Completely.
Great.
Thank you. Any further questions for Mickey on this bill?
I'm sure.
Senator Olson.
Who, prior to this legislation, who would fill out those forms for these people?
Senator Gelser, Senator Olson, quite frankly, sometimes they wouldn't get filled out. So there are, as you might imagine, the federal laws regarding applying for disabilities are sometimes more complicated than some of us would like. And when we approach the Social Security about the fact that some of our patients either are so ill they can't even sign something, could we sign for them? They said, well, you don't have the authority to do that. So this would take care of that problem. So unfortunately, we have patients who nobody fills those out for them. If they have a guardian, the guardian is always there for them. But I could feel pretty confident saying very few of our patients have guardians. So,
thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, are you all comfortable if we schedule this one for Wednesday as well for work session? Sounds great. Thank you very much. Is there?
Manager,
yes.
Just one thing on the scheduling of bills for work session. Mm-hmm. Since it's 1:14 right now, we wouldn't be able to start those work sessions until, assuming Corey could post an agenda right now, until 1:14
of
that day.
That's fine.
All right.
We'll get to it when we get to it on Wednesday. Isn't it 24 hours for a work session?
It's 48 hours.
Okay. All right. Great. Anybody else that would like to be heard on House Bill 2302? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2302. And we are on to our work sessions. So I will open up a work session on HJM4.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, HJM 4 urges Congress to pass the Raise Family Caregivers Act and recognizes the contribution of family caregivers. There is no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Chair Gelser, I move HJM 4 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves HJM 4 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered, and Senator Knope is excused. The motion passes and it goes to the floor. Senator Olson, would you carry this one?
Sure.
Great. And we'll close the work session on HJM 4, open a work session on HB 2216A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2216A establishes specified rights for foster youth. It directs DHS to adopt rules establishing the Oregon Foster Children's Sibling Bill of Rights. It directs DHS to review the rules periodically and promote participation of current or former foster children in developing the rules. There is a fiscal impact statement issued, and it is up on OLIS, and there is no revenue impact.
Thank you.
Chair Gelser, I move HB 2216A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 2216A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered, it heads to the floor, and I'll carry this one.
Madam Chair, on HJ, go ahead.
I'll close the work session on House Bill 2216.
On HJM 4, I kind of thought I was right. The good Senator Laurie Monis Anderson and Senator Knope are chief co-sponsors.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, and I thought maybe
they
would like to carry.
Would you like to carry that? Sorry, I missed that.
Okay.
I missed that. Let's send that to Senator Monis Anderson. All right. Thank you for catching that.
Thank you.
All right.
Senator Knope may want to, too.
You want to co-carry?
Just see if he wants to do it.
Okay, yeah.
I looked down and I saw the crocodile tears and I knew someone.
No. If I ever do that, speak
I would
up.
Never. I would let her know.
All right. So I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2344A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2344A modifies qualifications for a young person to participate in an independent living program and modifies activity requirements to include volunteer activities and permits exceptions. It permits DHS to pay grants for transportation expenses and for enrolled persons. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact on the measure.
Thank you, Senator Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 2344A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 2344A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Or I guess it's not ordered. It passes and it goes to the floor, and hopefully Senator Dimbrough would be willing to carry it.
I certainly would.
All right. So I will close the work session on House Bill 2344A. And I noticed we have some people in the room that maybe have not been to the legislative process before. And what is different about today is that every bill starts in one chamber and it goes through a pretty rigorous hearing and gets voted on by the entire House, and then it comes here. So a lot of times the hearings in the second half of the session are a lot shorter because a lot of work has been done before that happens. And then on the work sessions that we voted on, we had the hearings before and had the discussion, and that's why we voted without talking about them very much. But it's really nice to have you all here today. All right, anything else for the good of the order? All right, we are adjourned.
Before you do that, why don't you tell them the last process? It'll go to the floor and then to the governor.
Well, why don't you tell them?
Well, the next step from here, it'll go to the floor. We'll vote it on the floor. Then the governor will take it, and she'll sign it and turn it into law. And then you'll have your bill.
I have a question. Had there been any changes over the Senate, then it would have gone to a conference committee.
Yes.
Yes.
Unless they accepted our changes.
Right.
Which sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, it goes to the other side in the concurrence. And if they concur with the amendments, then it passes. And if it doesn't, then it's a conference committee. But so far, you're okay.
And there'll be a test in my office at 3 o'clock, but there is candy. All right, anything further for the good of the order? Seeing none, we are adjourned. Seeing none, we are adjourned. Further for the good of the order?